That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. So we will try this morning, in a short period of time, to deal with Bir Chametz, deal with the concepts, the definitions of Chametz, medications, cosmetics, and some basics of how to kasher your kitchen. First, we should follow the Ramah. The right after the Machaber points that out, the Ramah says, "Uminak liknos pitim lechalkan la'aniyim litzorech Pesach." That we have an inyan of kimcha de pitcha, and the Mishnah Berurah over there in Sifkat and Gimel points out that we're talking about a minhag kadum from the time of the Gaonim, mentioned in the Gemara, actually mentioned in Yerushalmi in Baba Basra. And Lechora, this is all connected to the last sif in Hilchos Yantav. At the end of Hilchos Yantav, Chayev Adam Liyos Sameach V'Tov Lev B'Moei Hu V'Ishto Ubanav V'Chol HaNilvim Egav. And the Mishnah Berurah over there points out, Sifkat HaTesvav, Hu Mitzvah Sasemin HaTorah D'Chziva Samachta V'Chagecha V'Noheges Gam B'Nashim. And then the Mechaber continues over there, Taf Kuf Kaftes V'Chayev V'Hachil L'Gir L'Yosam L'Almana Im Sha'ar Ha'aniyim. That's also a mitzvah saseh, v'alevi v'agir v'yasom asher b'sharecha. And so by us, in the Shar HaTzion, in Siman Taf Kaftes, in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, he points out that probably this is the makar of the minhag of Ma'os Chitim, Esher Mishum Zed Tiknu Kadmoneinu B'Pesach, Yoser Mishari Regalim, Shehuz Mancherus, Yoshvin U'Mesubim Kol Echad Hu U'Beso, Barov Simcha. That everyone, Baruch Hashem, is in a mood of simcha. Ein ze kavod l'Hashem sh'ani miyu az re'evim utzmeim. There shouldn't be a gap between Klal Yisrael and the aniyim. Al kein nosnim lo kemach kol yimei ha'pesach sh'yuchal gamu l'saper b'tzias Mitzrayim b'simcha. Okay, so I assume that Yisrael will still be collecting money from Ma'os Chitim. And if you're going back to America, I'm sure there are many Ma'os Chitim funds that are very meaningful there. You know, the OU has a Ma'os Chitim fund. The RCA has a Ma'os Chitim fund. That's Mekayim, Pashtus, the Mitzvah Saseh of Lagir, Layasam, Velalmana, which is part of the Mitzvah of Simchas Yantav. The Seder. Okay, to continue into Hilchos Pesach, so we move over to Siman Taf Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph. B'tchilas leil yadad b'nisan, bodkim es hachametz lo'or haner, b'chorin u'bistakim, b'chol makom o'shederech lahachnis sham chametz. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the reason for the bedika is because aside from the iser of achila and hana'ah that we have of chametz, is also a mitzvah lo taseh of lo yera'eh v'lo yimatzeh, and also a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. And so to be mekayim b'yira b'yimatzeh, to be mekayim tashbisu, really there are two possibilities midaraisa. One is biur chametz, and one is bitul chametz. Midrabanan, we require both, because our fear is that maybe one's not going to be mevatel b'leiv shalem, and therefore we need biur. And we also need bitul, because maybe you'll find chametz on Pesach, and if you didn't do bitul, this chametz is still yours. And if you stop to think, what should I do with this chametz? So for that period of time, you're over on bal yira and bal yimatze. And if you decide to eat it, chas v'shalom, you're over on iser of achilas chametz. And so one requires both the biur and the bitul. In order to be able to be mekayim biur chametz, one requires a bedika. How else are you going to mevar chametz if you're not do a serious bedika? And in order to do a serious bedika, you require house cleansing first as the preparation for the bedika. That's the Ramah over here in Siman Tafam at Gimel Sif Yud Aleph. Kol Adam Tzarech Lechabe Chadarav Kodem Bedika. That, in other words, you can't do a bedika without having first prepared the home by doing a proper cleaning. The challenge is to be able to clean the home, do the proper bedika, to be mekayim, and simultaneously to be mekayim the mitzvah of simcha and yontif. In other words, not to enter into yontif totally wiped out, particularly for women, who are chayef also, as pointed out, in simchas yontif midoraisa. And so it's important to know what we're looking for. Again, one can be machmir as much as one wants, but it's important to know what halachically we're looking for in terms of the world of chametz. What do we have to be mevayer? And here the Gemara in Sakhim and Avav and Medeis points out, I mean, you don't have to necessarily share all this with your wife if you feel that she'll tell you that I'm a Reform rabbi and, you know, it's, I don't know what I'm talking about because she knows better because her mother told her differently. But, you know, Api Halacha, what one has to look out for, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav HaBodek Tzarech Shiyavatel, my taima, Inem Amishim Pirurim, says the Gemara, Ha Lo Chashive. And Rabbeinu Hananel over there explains, Af Alpi Delo Bitlan, Kamo de Batlehem, the two lo kapid alayu. Tosus over there also points out, Shehem Betelim Me Alehem. In other words, that we're not out to be mevayer chametz, which is batel me'elov. So the Gemara then continues, Amar Rava gezera shema yimtza gluska yafa v'da'ate iluye. That the reason that we are shabodek tzarech she'ivatel is that we're afraid we're going to find a gluska yafa, and that you're not. That's not automatically batel daite luye, and that you're going to be over by Yerah, by Yematzei, and on that there's an inyan of tashbisu. What is this gluska yafa that we are searching for? So the Mishnah Berurah points out. Did I quote it? Yeah. And then in Siman Tafman Beis Sif Zayin, Achein Be'emes Yesh Machokas Ben Aposkin Bozeh, Das Harbe Poskim, that the Gluska Yafa can even be Pachos Mi Kazayis, Afilu Pachos Mi Kazayis Tarach Biur. However, Dafka Kisheroi La Achila Ktsas, Avol Imhu Metunaf Ktsas, U Pachos Mi Kazayis, Ain Tarach Levayer Lekulei Alma. If we have a Tarate Lereyusa, we have a small piece of Chametz, and it's Metunaf Ktsas. In other words, it's found in a place. It's on the floor. It's between the cracks of the balatot. That's not a gluska yafe. That doesn't require biur according to anyone. Ein tzarach levayer, says the Mishnah Berurah, lekulei alma. That's considered to be pirurim. That's lo chashive. That's not what we're looking for. If, however, it's pachos mikazayis and it's not metunaf, that already is a gluska yafa. The Ran points out, gluska yafa lef dafka. It doesn't mean necessarily something you're going to buy in a specialty store. Ela kol shi yotza michlal pirurim, gluska yafa. So if it doesn't, in other words, namely, if it's more than a kezayis, even if it's metunaf, or if it's less than a kezayis, but it's not metunaf, that's what we're looking for. So when we're speaking about cleaning the house and preparing the house, B'chorin u'mistakin, we're talking about places where it's likely you would find a gluska yafa as opposed to pirurim. So again, it doesn't mean that you have to take a toothpick and go between the balatot of the floor. What it means is that you go over the floor with some cleaning fluid that'll be pogame whatever is there. But what it means is what the Ramah wrote earlier, that bodkim es hachametz b'chol nistokim u'b'chol makomot shederech l'hachnis sham chametz, and the Ramah pointed out the kisim u'bateyad shel begodim shenostim b'hem lif'amim chametz tzrichim b'dika. Namely, where, you know, it's if let's say you have a child or you have a friend who has a child and you like to keep candies around. If the child begins to cry, you'll give him a candy. So you keep those candies in your pockets. Those pockets have to be checked. If you tend to eat when you're learning certain svarim, so in those svarim there are crumbs that are not natunaf at all. So those, in other words, if you want to use that sefer, That has to be checked. To be in ventures, there are generally crumbs that are not metunaf. So that's the chorin bestakim that we're talking about. If a child has a toy box where he keeps his toys, that's a place where he would also keep little pretzels and keep, you know, view children as squirrels. In other words, they will squirrel away things. For a rainy day, and so those are the chorin destakim. If you have a car, so the in other words, the car, the back seat where the car sits, that's a chorin destakim. If you have a couch, so between the pillows of the couch and the bottom of the couch, right? Those are the chorin destakim. That it's likely that you would find a pretzel or a candy. If a child has a school knapsack or briefcase or a backpack, that's he has to check it. In other words, if you have in your apartment houses, in the hallway you have like closets of, you know, where the electricity goes, etc. So many times a child who doesn't want to eat his sandwich would put it there. In other words, he wouldn't notice that he didn't eat it. In other words, so you have to, you know, think like a child. Where if you were a child, where would you hide things? And those are the chorin v'stakim that one should check. Nowadays, that we do beer, that we do mechiras chametz. So we generally only do mechiras chametz on things that are hefsed meruba. Namely, if I would throw this away, it would be a hefsed meruba. If I throw away a bottle of schnapps, that would be a hefsed meruba. If I have a box of Duncan Hine cake mix that I got in America, right, and it's irreplaceable. So that would be a hefsed meruba if I were to throw it away. So that we could sell, you know, you could even sell chametz gomer. In addition, if there are things that it's hard for you to clean, in other words, those chorin v'stakim that are hard for you to clean, and you don't plan to use those places over Pesach, so you could also put that in the shtar mechira, and you could decide, I don't want to clean my benchers. I'm just going to sell that chametz, which are the gluska yafa, those pieces less than a kazayis that are not metunaf. I'll just sell it. I know it's, I have a set of chumash that I know I have crumbs in. I'll just sell the chametz in that, and I won't use that. I'll sell the toy box of the kids, and I'll buy them new toys for Pesach, or tell them toys are chametz. I don't know. That's not very good in terms of chinuch, but in other words, but what. One has the possibility of also selling, in other words, that which is hard for us to deal with is similar to a hefsed meruba. You have hefsed meruba of money, and you have a hefsed meruba if this is going to exhaust you. And so we have the ability of selling that as well. Hu hadin, if they're, again, I'm trying to make life easier for those who want to clean properly. If there are pots and pans that you're not going to use, and they have chametz that's still a gluska yafa stuck to them, and so you could sell that as well. We don't sell the pots and pans. We don't want to have to be told of them after Pesach, but we can sell the chametz which is stuck on the pots and the pans. What if someone finds, yes?
When we talk about like crumbs and a venture, or even stuff that's stuck to a pot, no one ever think about eating a crumb in the venture. Is that like why?
Not necessarily. In other words, you have to understand that if children, maybe you Baruch Hashem, you probably were mature as a child as well. But many times, kids, particularly if they have some, you know, where it's ADD, you know, it's while everyone else is benching, they're going to be eating the crumbs in the venture. Or even an adult who's like a child, like me, you know, would sometimes just, you know, absentmindedly eat crumbs that are, yes.
I mean, if we're considering what children would eat, then they would also eat crumbs that are tuna on the floor, wouldn't they?
So then, bata daita. In other words, well, that's, you know, it's assumed that at an age of chinuch, you're right. Before the age of chinuch, we're assuming that from the age of chinuch and onwards, then when it would be problematic for them to eat, so then they wouldn't eat. You already taught them not to eat. That was on the floor. You shouldn't eat that. But you're not going to necessarily tell them, oh, that crumb is in a chumash, don't eat it. In other words, chumash is a holy book. In other words, so I think that there is still room to call that a gluska yafe. If someone finds that it's difficult to clean the house, simply that the thought of cleaning the house drives, you know, would drive a person crazy, and he just wants to go away for Pesach, so can he just go ahead and sell everything, sell everything in the house and just go away? So here we have, it's a machlokas, Rishonim and Achronim, which is brought in the Mishnah Brura, in Orach Chaim, in the Mechaber, firstly, in Siman Tav Lamed Vav, Sif Gimel, where it speaks about that if Toch Shloshim Yom, Yesh Misha Omer, I'm sorry, Aval Imu Mefaresh Oyotze Bishayara, Veloy Kanes Bepesach Bavayas. He plans just to be away, and he'd like to sell everything in his house, all the chametz in his house, to a goy. Yesh Misha Omer Shechalalav Chobas Biur Kevan Shehu Toch Lamed Yom. You can't do that. First you have to do a cleaning, and you have to do a bedika. That's the Chobas Biur, because it's within 30 days. Vetzarach Lavayar Base. So even if you're going to sell it to a goy, you still have a mitzvah biur. And then there is another daya that one does not have to. So the Mishnah Brura says that one can be somech on that ladder, yesh omrim. In other words, if you want to do a mechira, but the question is, whether the mechira on Yud Dalid, whether the mechira of Erev Pesach would patur you lemafreya from doing a bedika on the previous evening. So that's a machlokas which is found over here in the Mishnah Brura, Taf Lamed Vav, Sifkatan Lamed Beis. In other words, he points out the second one, Ledina Yesh Deos Bein Ha'achronim in Kedas HaMachader O HaYesham Shehuva Barama V'nira V'im Nichnas Bo HaNachri. If you're going to sell it to a goy, Yesh Lo Hakel. However, that's a machlokes achronim. Yesh deos bein haachronim. The reading of the fourth one of Mishnah Berurah. Shadas hamekor chayim v'chayi adam tzarach levodka. That night the chametz has not been sold, so you haven't accomplished very much by selling it on the day. Me'achar deleis ato hachadarim lo nimkeru v'hem mishos Yisrael. Namely, that by selling everything to a goy, that'll be your beer instead of cleaning and checking. It's a machloka sachronim. There are those that say that the regular machira of Yudalur will help even lemafreya to patu you from the cleaning and the bedika. And then he mentions a way of doing, of getting around that, via an etza of the chasam sofer, that you'll choose one room that you want to make a bedika on. You'll choose, I want to do the mitzvah of biur on my laundry porch. And so on the laundry porch, there that you'll clean, and there at night you'll go with a candle and a feather and a wooden spoon, and you'll put out 10 pieces of bread in that laundry room, and you're mekayim in the rest of the apartment the next day. That's where you're going to sell to the goy. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that is an etza. The ein limchos v'chlal biyad hamakilim, who want to either take that etza or to sell v'chlal everything on Yud Dalet, but hamocher biyom Yud Gimel shapir adif tvei. that you would solve the issue by selling it to a goy on Yud Gimel. And that's why we have two shtaros. Namely, we have a shtar of Yud Daled for those who plan to do a bedika on the night of bedika schametz, be it a full bedika, plan to do a full bedika on the night of Yud Daled. Those who don't plan to do a full bedika can sell their chametz on Yud Gimel, and can either that way simply not do a bedika at all, just drive off to whatever hotel you're going to, or if you want to, when you sell the chametz on Yud Gimel, you could put in a paragraph, I'm selling everything except for my laundry porch, and on that laundry porch, you'll do the bedika like the Chasam Sofer, and sort of be yotze, the daya that holds, that one has to do a cleaning and a bedika, in some way to be mekayim the mitzvah of biur. Okay, so I have downstairs two shtaros, and you'll just let me know if you want to sell your chametz via me. Do you want to sell your chametz on Yud Gimel because you just would rather not clean the apartment, or if you only want to clean one room? That's also an option. We'll put that in the shtar of Yud Gimel, and all the rest will sell before the night of bedika. But if you want to do what had been Minog Yisrael until relatively recently, to clean one's house and to do a bedika the night of bedika schametz, so then whatever is left as a hefsed merubah, again hefsed merubah that either because it's valuable or because it's just too difficult for you to clean those certain areas, so that will sell on Yud Daled. Okay, this thing. Okay, let's move over into defining chametz. So the Isser on Pesach is to eat chametz and to benefit from chametz. And chametz is defined as any products or any byproducts of a combination of the five types of dagon, chita, se'ora, shibolet, shu'al, kusmin, and shifan. To best of my knowledge in English, it's wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. When you take any of those five, you add water, and you wait 18 minutes, whatever comes out, be it products or byproducts, would be considered to be chametz. So it could be bread, it could be malt, it could be gluten, it could be sorbitol, according to many poskim, it could be carbon dioxide, it could be ethyl alcohol, it could be starch. Again, you have items that can come from different sources, but if they come from that combination of five mine daga and water and 18 minutes, then that's called chametz. So in terms of alcohol, you could have alcohol, which is a byproduct of the fermentation of wheat, or you could have alcohol, which is a byproduct of a fermentation of sugars, or you could have alcohol, which is a byproduct of a fermentation of kidney yolk, that we'll discuss a little later on, and they're all going to be called ethyl alcohol. You could have alcohol which comes from a form of gasoline that would be called isopropyl alcohol. You could have synthetic alcohol, and so that's why we need hechsherim to be able to figure out, like, what is going on in the particular product that we're dealing with. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's that which is created here locally. All the alcohol that one would find in cosmetics or in medical products, etc., all the alcohol comes either from fermentation of sugar or it's synthetic. So that's simply the way the market conditions work in Israel. I don't know what goes on in America. Starch is, once upon a time, more than 90% of the starch would come from kidney oats, from corn starch or potato starch. But now a good part of the starch also comes from chametz, because starch is a byproduct of making gluten, and gluten is added to breads, and so things change. Citric acid is a byproduct of a fermentation. Sorbic acid, vitamin C, vitamin E, all of these are byproducts of fermentation, and a good number of them come from fermentation of wheat. So in the Badatz puts out I'll change the Madrikim that are in the Beis Medrash. Who has the stamp?
David, you.
I'll give you the stamp then. So they have a whole thing about how they were searching for, in terms of baby formula, for vitamin C that didn't come from wheat, because now a good part of the vitamin C comes from wheat, and they finally found one company that had a vitamin C that came from kidney yolk. The baby formula is kidney yolk, so they put in that vitamin C. So I'll just put in the Beis Medrash these two volumes. One is just about everything they do year round, and one is about Pesach. If there's anywhere that is a metal surface in the Beis Medrash, they have all the times listed here, and they made very nicely their madrich for medications, both in English and Hebrew, is a separate small volume. So that we'll put on the bima for anyone who wants to look at it. Okay, and we'll discuss it in a few minutes exactly what's going on. Okay, so we've defined chametz as a product or a byproduct of the fermentation of the five minei dagan, which that would be mixed with water for more than 18 minutes. In terms of kitniot for Ashkenazim, we're all aware that we have an issue that over here in Siman Tafnun Gimel Sif Aleph, the Machaber points out, if they're mixed with water and less than 18 minutes, so they can turn into yotze matzah. So the question is exactly what are these kitniot that we aser and why? So the Mishneh Berurah gives two reasons for the why, and that somehow goes against the what. And the two reasons are either that the kernels of wheat can very well be mixed in with the kernels of these kitniot and it's hard to find them, or that these kitniot can be made into flour and it's hard to distinguish between the flour of kitniot and the flour of the five minei dagan. What is alpi minhag, the minei kitniot? So we have corn and we have beans and peas and soy and rice, and those all fit the reasons that have been given. However, we're all aware that there are questions in terms of are peanuts kidneyot or not, is quinoa kidneyot or not, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva in which he points out that not everything that we aser fits into the reasons that the poskim mentioned. For example, mustard. Mustard seeds have no connection at all with the kernels of wheat, and one does not make flour out of mustard. On the other hand, we have potatoes that are not kitniot, but certainly one makes flour out of potatoes, and it looks very, very similar to regular flour. In the nowadays they make rolls out of potato starch that look very, very similar to regular rolls. And so Rav Moshe said it's even though we have reasons, everything goes after the minhag. That which people were knowing to aser will be aser, even if it doesn't fit into the reasons. And that which they were knowing to be matir will be matir, even if it does fit into the reasons. And so he says that since on peanuts there was not a clear minhag to aser, so therefore Rav Moshe was matir peanuts, and on that basis the OU and the Star K, etc., said, well, quinoa, there is no minhag, it wasn't even known, until relatively recently that there is such an item called quinoa. So since there's no minhag to aser it, so therefore, as long as we're sure that it's pure quinoa, it's fine. However, certainly, you all have the right to follow the OU and the Star K, etc. But I must tell you that I personally feel very uncomfortable with such a heter, because I think that that one can interpret very, very differently, that because there are reasons to aser kitniot, so therefore everything which halachically is defined as kitniot should be kitniot. And there is a halachic definition of kitniot. The halachic definition is found in the Rambam. The Rambam says, hazer onim, things that grow over here in Hilchos Kilayim, in the beginning. So the Rambam says, hazer onim, that which grows in the ground, what we call pri ha'adama, can be divided, nechlakim l'shrosh ha'chalakim. Ha'echad mehem nikra tvua, that we have, that which we're going to call halachically tvua, and those are the five minim that we spoke of earlier. Chitim, Kusmin, Saorim, Shibola, Shuol, and Shifam. Those are edible kernels. From those five are called Tvua. Hasheni Mehen, the second category is Kitnit. Vehen Kol Hazraim HaNe'echa La'adam Chutzmin HaTvua. Any kernels, any seeds that are eaten, that are edible, aside from Tvua. Pool, ofanim, adashim, dochan, orez, shumshamin, paragin, etc. In other words, those are that's the corn and the beans and the peas and the soy and the rice that we eat, the kernels. The kernels are edible, and they're not from the chamisha minim. And the third type is mashinikra zer onegina, what we call vegetables, vehein shar hazer onim, she'ena ru'uyim l'ma'achaladim, where the seeds are not edible, but the vegetable is edible, right? Like a tomato. Like a cucumber, like, you know, where it's all of the vegetables that we tend to eat, those are zer onegina, that, you know, it's, in terms of lettuce and cabbage and onions v'chule. And so my humble opinion, in other words, that means that mustard, in which the seeds are edible, that is kitniyot. The potato, in which we eat the vegetable, not so that's not kitniyot, that's zeronikina, namely that it fits in very, very nicely. Peanuts, the seeds are edible, that's kitniyot. Quinoa, the seeds are edible, that's kitniyot. So in my humble opinion, we have a zera on kitniyot, and halakhically, these are called kitniyot. Okay. Moving back to the rest of the world, in specimen, I'll jump them up. I'm the only family that doesn't eat quinoa, but I really think that it's a problem. But for those of you who will be in Eretz Yisrael and will be and have come originally from America, so we have to know that there is a chumrah in America as a minhag. That's the minhag that we kept in America, which is somewhat sidelined here in Eretz Yisrael, which is based on the language of the Ramah. The Ramah points out that in the world of kitniyos, muter lahadlik bishmanim hana'asim mehem. That when you have mashkin hayotzin min hakitniyot, when you have a derivative of kitniyot, you have an oil that comes out of kitniyot, so the Ramah says that you're allowed to be nehene from that oil. Muter lahadlik. The diuk is, but you can't eat it, you can't drink, you can't consume it, that oil. You can be nehene, you could use it as a fuel, but you can't eat it. That was the minhag that that the OU and that the Star K etc. have in America, that corn oil and soy oil are considered to be kitniyot and should not be used on Pesach. One should be aware it's really a machlokes achronim, that there are achronim. There's a famous tshuva of the Maharsham who says that what the Ramah means is that an oil that was made on Pesach, namely that the kitniyot entered Pesach as a seed and was made into an oil, that should not be consumed. But if the oil was made beforehand, then it's not an issue. In Eretz Yisrael, we're all aware that the rove of the, until American Jewry wakes up, the rove of Jews in Eretz Yisrael are from Edot HaMizrach, and don't have at all a gzeira of kitniyot, and the Rabbanut decided to paskin like the Maharsham. In other words, that mashkin hayotzim in a kitniyot, even for the people, even for the Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to write on it kosher lePesach. They're going to write on it lelo kitniot. It doesn't have kitniot. It only has mashkin hayotzim in hakitniot. So the only hefsherim in Eretz Yisrael, which would be parallel to our minhag that we kept in Chutz La'aretz of mashkin hayotzim in hakitniot, are the mahadrin hefsherim. In other words, that's one of the main differences between a regular hefsher and a mahadrin. Mahadrin means that even the mashkin hayotzim in hakitniot are considered to be problematic, namely that they're only going to use palm oil or walnut oil or palm oil, walnut oil, what other oil would there be, or olive oil, right? In other words, not they wouldn't use the classic vegetable oils. And so you should realize that anything under a non-Mahadrin Hechsher, even though during the course of the year you'll say, I'm somech on the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim, I'm somech on the Rabbanut of Rechovot, I'm somech on this Rabbanut, that Rabbanut, but you should just know that on Pesach, it all has, in other words, if we're talking about margarine, if we're talking about mayonnaise, talking about chocolate, talking about candies, talking about soup mixes, soft drinks, they all have mashkin hayotzin min hakitniot. They all have a sweetener, and the sweetener generally is corn oil, glucose, dextrose, even in the diet sodas, the aspartame also is a mashkin hayotzin min hakitniot. And so if one wants to maintain the minhag that we had in Chutz La'aretz, so on Pesach one should dafka buy those products with the Mahadrin Hechsher. In terms of cottonseed oil, so the OU in America says the cottonseed oil is not a problem because we have a very powerful svara that if cotton seeds are not edible and they're not kitniot, so that which comes from this cotton seeds, it should also not be kitniot. And so Rav Moshe was matir, and the OUP is matir. Minog Eretz Yisrael classically is not to be matir, namely panim chadoshos. Not panim chadoshos ba'olad. It's not kitniot, but rather we found a way of making cotton seeds roi la'achila, and so we have a kitniot which is roi la'achila. So, if you will find products that will have on it, let's say, but in other words, it'll say all year round certain pickles will have a badatz of the Eda Charedes Hechsher, and all of a sudden on Pesach it'll be OUP, it means it has cottonseed oil. So, in other words, if you feel that you're used to eating cottonseed oil, and all the cake mixes in America have cottonseed oil, the Manischewitz cake mixes, the Streitz cake mixes, and that's your minhag, fine. In other words, so you can use the OUP here in Eretz Yisrael as well. If you want to take upon yourself the more traditional minhag Eretz Yisrael, so then you would take a step back from, from the products made with cottonseed oil, and look for those that are made with olive oil, with palm oil, or with walnut oil, namely that which would be a Mahadrin Hechsher Eretz Yisrael, be a Mahadrin, and all the Mahadrin Hechsherim. Whether it's the Badatz, or whether it's Bells, or whether it's Aguda, or whether... in other words, that's the nature of the Mahadrin Hechsher. So what you'll find is that on Coca-Cola, so Rav Landau has Zichrono Levracha, just passed away, but his son took over the Hashgacha. So that has a Mahadrin Hechsher, means that they use sugar instead of corn oil, corn syrup in Eretz Yisrael, and in terms of diet sodas, Diet Coke has aspartame. It doesn't have Rav Glando's Hechsher. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Schweppes diet sodas and the RC diet sodas are made with an artificial sweetener, which is not, and they have a Hechsher of, you look on what you buy, if it has a Hechsher for Pesach or for Rav Reuben, so that means that it's not, they're not using kitniot oil. Okay. In terms of starch, so we pointed out that starch is if starch, you know, it's most starch comes from kidney yolk, and we pointed out that that we have a minhag of not eating kidney yolk, but we are allowed to be nehene from kidney yolk, just not allowed to eat them. So if you have, so they say that the things that are cheap paper goods many times have some starch on them, like paper napkins or paper towels may have starch. So then you would be allowed to wipe your hands with the napkins and wipe your hands. You just shouldn't wrap a schnitzel with it. In other words, you shouldn't. You're allowed to be nehne from it. You should not eat it. So it would appear to me that if it's not on the table, it's simply something which is on the counter that you're just wiping your hands, it should not be a problem. In terms of using it to wrap a food, I think would be very problematic. You'll see that on eggs there's a stamp kasher lePesach. You can ask why in the world does eggs require a stamp kasher lePesach? So the answer is that the stamp is kasher lePesach, namely that the ink which is used year round in the stamps, all eggs in Israel have to be stamped by Tnuva to show that they've been candled, etc. So the ink that they use year-round is a kidney yolk derivative. And so kasher lePesach eggs means that the ink is also kasher lePesach. So you can make soft-boiled eggs, and even though the ink is going to go into the water, it's kasher lePesach. You'll notice also, these are quirks of Eretz Yisrael, that all the milk products will say on it, kasher lePesach, Erev Pesach, Tafshin Ayin Tes. If it says Tafshin Ayin Ches, I wouldn't touch it unless it's a hard cheese. Erev Pesach says Tafshin Pei, so we have a problem. But Erev Pesach Tafshin Ayin Tes. What's the concept of Erev? It's really, again, it's a minhag which doesn't really have that much of a source in halacha, in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's well known that the fodder that was fed to the cows was kidney yolk. And then there's an issue, how do I view milk that comes out of, I don't think I wrote this, how do we view milk that comes out of a cow that ate chametz? Are you considered to be nehene from chametz by drinking the milk? So the Mishnah Berurah brings a machlokes achronim in Siman Taf Mem Ches, Sifkatan Lamed Gimel. If someone drinks milk from a cow that ate the fodder, then is that called nehene? And Rav Moshe felt that it's certainly mutter. But everyone agrees that if the cow ate the fodder before Pesach, when the fodder was mutter, so then the milk is certainly fine. So in Chutz La'aretz, there was an inyan of buying milk products before Pesach. So you shouldn't get involved in this question that maybe the milk came from the cow on Pesach and the cow ate fodder on Pesach, etc., etc. And also in Chutz La'aretz, not every dairy has a hechsher from the goyim who may be eating sandwiches as they are preparing the milk, etc. So in Chutz La'aretz, there is really an inyan to buy all the milk products Erev Pesach. But in Eretz Yisrael, they already changed the fodder a month ago. In other words, that all the milk products, you know, from already from Purim, there were milk products Erev Pesach. That means that the fodder was already changed. I think in Adar Aleph, they changed the fodder, the poor cows. In other words, to make it a kidney oat fodder instead of a chametz nika tarovet. And so there's no problem. And then in Eretz Yisrael, they're very makpid in to keep the milk processing plants year round kosher lePesach. They don't allow any food to go in there, and everything goes through sieves, etc. So it's, you know, it's, if you don't have a fridge large enough to buy milk before Pesach, and you'll simply buy milk on Pesach, and it'll say simply kosher lePesach, that's also fine. You shouldn't worry about it, okay? In other words, it's just, it's nice to buy things before Pesach, so Chol HaMoed can be a yantif. You don't have to go to the makolet on Chol HaMoed. But it's, in other words, it's a chumra that has really no basis currently in the Metzius. Okay, Adkan in terms of regalachas, in terms of food products, but chametz and kitniot, etc. In terms of going to a drugstore to buy cosmetics and medications. Okay, so let's just give the rules. That year-round, we have a principle that nevela haru'uya lager karoi nevela. Nevela she'ena ru'uya lager eno karoi nevela. Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Which means that the moment that ma'achalot asurot are inedible to man, they're mutter. On Pesach, we have a unique chumrah that we use the criteria not of what a man would eat, but what a dog would eat, whether it's roi l'achilas kelev or not roi l'achilas kelev. What that means is that if it's edible, ayadei hatachak, it's not something necessarily that you know you would take as a snack, but if like you were really hungry, that you would eat it, then that is still considered to be chametz. And that's one of the definitions of chametz nukshe, that there are two definitions of chametz nukshe. Either it's ro'i la'kila ayadei hatchak, and again, it's still aser da'oraisa, or it's a chametz which did not go through the process of fermentation totally. According to Rashi, that's what we have in matzah ashira, that if you have, if you use mei peros, so the Gemara says, mei peros ein machmitzim. If you were, instead of using water, you were to use apple cider, or you were to use eggs as the liquid, so the Gemara says, mei peros einam machmitzim. Rashi says it means, einam machmitzim chimutz gomur, but it's still chametz nukshe. It's still the process already began. And therefore, if you look over here, if you turn the page over, and the second source, in other words, in other words, even though the Machaber Paskins, Mei Beitzim Ushar Mashkin, Kulam Havi Bechal Mei Peros, and Mei Peros Eino Machnitzim, so there's no problem with Matzah Ashira on Pesach, you shouldn't use it for Lecha Seder, but it's not considered to be Chametz, and therefore you're going to have, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of Matzah Ashira, a lot of cookies that will say on it Matzah Ashira that are made with pure apple cider or pure eggs and no water at all, and for the Sfardim, they are perfectly fine. Ubemedinos Egu, of Ashkenazim, Ein Noagim, Lalush, Bemei Peros, Afi Uliktof HaMatzah, Sein Noagim, Rak La'achar Afiyos, and Dorim Chamen, that we're not knowing to use Mei Peros at all. Ve'ein Lushanos, Im Lo Bishas Hatchak, Letzorach Echola, Ozake, Hatzarach Lazer. And so, in other words, that only for a chola or a zake, because it's maximum, it's a chshash of chametz nukshe, not a chshash of chametz gomor, one can be mekel. So at least when I grew up, so the matzah companies in America used to sell egg matzahs, in other words, with a heksher of Rav X or Rav Y, and on the side they would say, Ayein siman tuf samach beis haga sifkat andal. They would write that in Yiddish. In other words, no one, of course, would look to see that it's only mutter for zaken or chola. They would simply assume that, you know, it's kasher lepesach. So we have then these two categories. So to go back to the definition of chametz nukshe, which means that it is roi la'achila edei atchak. It's roi la'achilas kelev. So we have in a drugstore products that were meant, we'll talk about cosmetics, that were meant to be put in the mouth or on the lips, like toothpaste, or like mouthwash, or lipstick. L'chaora, they are all roi l'achila edei atchak. Namely, that people know, I mean, the manufacturers know that occasionally women like to lick their lips, or, you know, people, even though it says to spit out the mouthwash and the toothpaste, but there are people that occasionally do swallow it. They don't want people to be sick. So they make it that it's roi l'achila edei atchak. In other words, that if a kid will swallow some toothpaste, nothing is going to happen to him. So that, then, so those products require a heksher. Because without a heksher, one can assume that if they, you know, if they have chametz ingredients, that those chametz ingredients are roi ayadei atchak. as opposed to other cosmetics that we'll discuss later on, but those that are specifically meant to be put near the mouth and likely to be swallowed, those lechora certainly require a hechsher. Even if we have a product like that which is not roi lachilas kelev, but and therefore lechora is mutter and achilan hanoa, but we have a machlokis rishonim in terms of past shenit apesh. You look in the third source. Patch shenit apesh kodem zman isuro v'nifsal me'achilas kelev osrafo be'esh kodem zmano v'nechrach al yado v'nechrach ad. I'm sorry, the unit is probably yudalit from my first. V'nechrach ad she'eno roi la'achilas kelev, etc., etc. So the language of the Machaber is mutar lekayemo bePesach. There's no Isur of Bayira, Bayimatze, there's no Chiyuv of Tashbisu. But the question, and that's the language of the Gemara, the question is how to learn that Gemara. So the Ran says, Mutar l'kayimo b'Pesach, and you're allowed to eat it, and you're allowed to drink it, it's not chametz. But the Rush is Medayeg, and that it's Asur v'Achila. Mutar l'kayimo b'Pesach, says the Mishnah Berurah, Hu hadin the Mutar b'Hanoa, Avol ba'achila osur drabonim ad achar ha-pesach. What's the svara of the Rosh? This is not roi lachilas kelev. Afal gav da'achila shen roi lachilas kelev he who nifsa lakol mikol malkom kevan shehu rotze le'achol. The fact that he is swallowing it ha'achshevei. In other words, that we have over here a concept midrabonim of achshevei, and therefore, my humble opinion, to go back to the toothpaste and the mouthwash and the lipstick, even if the manufacturer were to say that this is eino roi lechol eidi achilas kelev, still we have an issue of achshavid that one shouldn't swallow it. That if one swallows it, one would have an iser drabonah. So those certainly require a hechsher for Pesach. In terms of other cosmetics, makeup and perfume and deodorants and various soaps and shampoos, etc. So if the roi lachilas kelev, for example, French perfume is known to contain alcohol which is not denatured. It theoretically, I mean, it'd be very expensive, but theoretically one could drink it and get high on French perfume. It's much cheaper to get high on whiskey than to get high on French perfume. But in other words, it has whiskey which is which has in it alcohol which is roi lachila. And so that is aser both bachila and bahana'a. So you couldn't use, you know, so you should go through your wife's perfumes. She has American perfume, so that's fine. That's denatured. That's eino roi lachilas kelev. But French perfume should be sold. The choritz hefsed meruba to throw it away. And as long as one is only nen and not eating, so l'chora there's no problem of achshavei. And so most cosmetics are in a situation of eino roi lachilas kelev, and one's allowed to be nen from them. And that's, you know, where it's what the CRC from Chicago say, you don't need a hechsher on deodorant, you don't need a hechsher on soap. It's eino roi lachilas kelev. You're not eating it. It's not going anywhere near your mouth. There's no achshavei. There is no problem. However, why then, you know, are there hechsherim on soaps and deodorants v'chulei v'chulei? Because there is room to be machmir according to a machlokes achronim between the Shach and the Taz in Yerodeya Siman Kuf Yud Zayin. That we know that on Yom Kippur, and in terms of truma, we have a principle of sicha kishsiya. You're not allowed to rub oil into, you know, rub any edible any liquid into one's skin, because it's the equivalent of drinking it. The question is that a din dafka in truma and Yom Kippur, or is that a din in Pesach as well? Would it be a din dafka in Yom Kippur and Truma, or is that a din b'chol haTorah kula that would include Pesach? if it would be a din b'chol haTorah kula, then maybe we have a din of achshavei, that even if it's eno roi la'achila, b'chol zot, by your rubbing it in, is the equivalent of your drinking it, and drinking it would be considered to be achshavei. So here we have a machlokas achronim. How do we pass it? Is sicha kishtiya a din b'chol haTorah kula, or only on, or is it din b'chol haTorah kula, or only on Yom Kippur and Truma? Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chel Gimel of Arachayim, Siman Samach Beis, where he is matir, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orebach also is matir based on his Sveik Sveika. Maybe Sicha Kishtia is only by Yom Kippur and Truma, and even it's B'chol HaTorah Kula, maybe there's no Achshavei on Sicha. However, there are Achronim who are Machmir, and that's why you would have lists in pharmacies that Helena Rubinstein products are kosher lePesach, that this product is kosher lePesach. In other words, it's to be machmir, you know, in these machokos achronim. Okay, so we have over here room to be mekel and room to be machmir. But again, but that which is put in the mouth, near the mouth, I certainly feel that requires a hechsher, even if it says on it that it's eno roi l'achilas kelev. But if you're swallowing it, there we have a din of achshavei. In terms, yes?
Something like toothpaste, which is like only swallowed accidentally, that would still be achshavei?
That would still, in other words, that one would not, in other words, what do you mean by accidentally? In other words, that, in other words,
you don't want to swallow brush your toothpaste.
You know? I don't know if you don't want to. You don't want, in other words, you don't do it on purpose. Now you can take a tube of toothpaste, make a charcoal and eat it. In other words, again, depending upon one's habits, there are individuals you come out with a taste in your mouth, in other words, and that taste is a taste that you're ingesting. That taste, I think that one still should require. There's so many toothpaste with hashirim. I don't think over here one, you know, it's a problem to find the toothpaste of the hashir. And save the toothpaste that you like here after Pesach. It's only a week. Okay. In terms of medications, so all medications that are creams are certainly mutter. There's no din of sicha kishtia if in a medicated cream. In terms of liquid medications, or medications that are chewable, both of those have sweeteners that are added to them. And again, those sweeteners could very well be either chametz or kitniyot, and therefore liquid medications and chewable medications certainly require a hechsher. In Israel, so there is, the children, they have a children's akamol to take down fever, so they have one type, one flavor, which is kosher lePesach. The other flavors are not kosher lePesach. You check in. I didn't have a chance to look yet which flavor usually. Fruit flavor, I'm not sure. But in the pharmacies, they would tell you. Yes?
Baby medication also, and vitamins? Sure.
Coming. Okay. In terms of medications that one swallows, pills that one swallows, so those, in other words, the fact that one swallows them as opposed to chewing them, they're generally not roi l'achilas kelev. And the question is, should there be a problem of achshavei, going back to what Binyamin sort of raised earlier, if I'm only swallowing it for medicinal purposes, not because I'm going to be nourished by it. So that's a machlokes achronim, whether there is a din of achshavei in terms of swallowing medications. There is a tshuva of the Shagas Aryeh who says that anything which is swallowed is considered to be a food. It's Siman Ayin Hay. But there's a tshuva of the Yehuda, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva that achshavei is only when you're interested in the taste, you're interested in the nourishment, not something that you're simply swallowing because you're ill. So you should know that all of these lists are only, in other words, all of these lists that are dealing with pills are only l'shitas hamachmirim that say that there is achshave even in the world of pills. Yitachein, I heard from Mazal and Nehemia, that this could be really a machlokes rishonim. That in Yeridea we have a siman pei aleph. It's one of those that one that's no longer learned for why yusmicha. That hayotze min hatame tame. That an egg coming out of a non-kosher bird is not kosher. Anything that comes out of something which is not kosher is not kosher. And there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush. What about mei raglayim, the urine of a donkey? And the Mechaber quotes the two deos, that according to the Rambam, mei raglayim, urine is perish ba'alma, and according to the Rush, it's still aser. Why should it be aser? It's eno roi lachilas adam, eno roi lachilas kelef. So even nevela eno roi lager, why should it be aser? So the Shach says, because it was used as a medication. It was used as a medication for yarkuna, for a certain illness. And so yitachen, that this is the Rush l'shitasa. The Rush was the source of the din of achshave. That even that which is eno roi la'achila, but if you're eating it, if you're drinking it, that's achshave, and he's dealing with it with the medication. So l'chore, that's the idea to the, you know, words to the shaygasariyeh, to those who are machmeh, that there's an inyan of achshave, even in the world of medications. So in any case, that's the machokas. But yitachen, that there is another heter for the world of medications, and that is that swallowing is considered to be achila shelo kedarka. Normally things are chewed as opposed to swallowed. And achila shelo kedarka is aser midrabana. And for a chola, even ainbo sakana, is that's achila shelo kedarka is mutter. And so, again, then the whole list of medications should only be for someone who's not a chola. If he's a chola, namely that he would be bedridden without the medication, so then he'd be allowed to swallow it. So that this is basically dealing with things that a person would have a mechush. Someone has a headache, someone has a cold, he's not bedridden, he has a mechush. So then, in this situation, there's room to look in the guide to see whether the medication that you're taking is problematic or not problematic. Vitamins certainly would come under that category of things that you're not a chola, in other words, in terms of the world of vitamins. And so vitamins, l'chora, certainly should require a hechsher. In terms of babies, so a baby is considered like a chola sheyesh bo sakana. So l'chora, there, you know, where it's, if one finds something with a hechsher, wonderful. If not, so then you should certainly give the baby whatever medication it needs. And who are then in terms of formulas? That there are, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, many formulas that are made for Pesach specifically. It'll say on them, and they all have kitniot. So you should simply prepare them in separate bottles and wash the bottles in a separate sink. But if one of these formulas is not good for the baby has allergies and he needs a specific formula that doesn't have a hechsher for Pesach, so you should certainly use it for the baby. In other words, if one can not bring chametz into one's house, wonderful. But a baby is a chol hashesh b'sakana. In other words, we're not at the akedah of Yitzchak. We're not asked to hand over our children to Pesach. Yes. What? For the adult,
yeah,
that his child lives. I understand what you know. It's
your animal, getting
a mess. Certainly you're 100% correct. In other words, you shouldn't feed chametz to an animal. You know, if the animal is, it's not no pikuach nefesh by an animal. The animal can eat whatever you're eating. You know, it's animals can eat matzah. You know, it's
only no other option.
So sell the animal to a goy. But you're not going to sell your child to a goy. Right? In other words, so if you have a problem with an animal that could only eat chametz, you have fish that have a special chametz sticker formula. Other than that, the fish are going to die. So sell the fish to a goy. Yes?
If the formula has chametz in it, so then better to wash the bottles and stuff like in the bathroom sink?
Certainly. I mean, saying that even if it has kidneys, you shouldn't wash it in the regular sink. If it has chametz, certainly wash it elsewhere. Okay, that aregalachas is in terms of chametz, in terms of food, cosmetics, and medications. In terms of kashering one's kitchen, that we haven't spoken about. So we all know the rules, that there are certain materials that lend themselves to hechsher, and other materials that don't, and those that are problematic. So metal, wood, stone, bone, one can be machshir. Klei cheres, one cannot be machshir. In terms of plastic, though it's a machlokes achronim, but in other words, chutz la'aretz people are not machshir plastic. In Eretz Yisrael, in the army and in government institutions, they are machshir hard plastic, but not hard plastic that has crevices, cracks. They're not machshir. The principle of hachshara is kabolo kach polto. So if something is boleya via fire directly, so it requires libun. If it's boleya via a hot liquid, so it requires hag'ala. What is considered to be libun? So if we're dealing with that which is isura bala, you need libun chamur, what we call a blowtorch or a self-cleaning oven. If it's hetera bala, you want to move, let's say, from milchiks to fleshiks, so then it's enough to have libun kal. In libun kal would be the equivalent of turning an oven on for at its highest temperature for an hour. The question is, what is chametz? Chametz that was absorbed before Pesach, is that considered to be hetera bala? Or since it's chametz, it's just it's going to turn into iser, it's considered to be isura bala? So here is a machlokes shonim and achronim, and so the briskers, the Rav included, viewed chametz as isura bala, and the only way of being machshir an oven would be to blowtorch the oven or to put it through a self-cleaning cycle. Mashen came many poskim, almost all of the various guides to Pesach will view chametz as hetera bala, and they'll say it's enough to clean out the oven with an oven cleaner to get rid of any be'en, and then in terms of that which is absorbed in the oven, to simply turn it on its highest temperature. So to go through the kitchen, if one has burners, so l'chora, if they're start with sinks. Okay, if one has sinks, so if one has stainless steel sinks, most of you in the apartments have stainless steel sinks. So then, don't use it for 24 hours, and you can pour then hot water over the sink to be magil with irui kli rishon, because the kabolo kachpalto, it absorbed via irui kli rishon, so you can be machshir via irui kli rishon. Again, the reason that you should wait 24 hours is that the tam pagum, the tam should be nifgam, because otherwise the tam will simply come out and go back in. In terms of those who have porcelain sinks, so clean out well and then buy a plastic sink or a grate and put that into one sink. In terms of the countertops, so if the countertops are made of stone, so they can be cleaned and again not used for 24 hours, and then it's pour boiling water over them. That's assuming that they don't have cracks. If the old countertops that are full of cracks, so cover. Cover with place with two covers. Be creative thinking how to cover it. In terms of tables that have the formica, these tables, formica, l'chora, cannot be kashered, it can be cleaned and then covered. The formica is a form of plastic. In terms of the oven, in terms of the top of the oven, the burners on top, one should clean them. One should clean if one has a stove top. So one should clean the stove top and probably probably the best thing to do would be to cover it with silver foil, and to add in the, you know, where it's in, and where the flame comes up. So assuming that we have a concept, l'chora, the flame coming up, that would be a libun chamur, that just to turn on the burner for a half hour should certainly be sufficient. If there is a grate over the burner, what's called in Hebrew a chatzuva, I don't know whether, probably the best thing would be either, would be to cover with silver foil, put the pot on the silver foil, because I don't know by the time the flame goes up to the burner whether it would still be a libun chamur. If you hold, all that you require is libun kal, so you could just put on the flame for that half hour, and that would be the libun kal of the grate. In terms of the oven itself, so that we mentioned, those who have a microwave, probably everyone has a microwave, no? So if the microwave, if the inner box is metal, I think most microwaves are metal inside, so don't use it for 24 hours. And then put a cup of water in the microwave and turn on the microwave for 5 minutes should be enough, that the water will boil, and it would be a hag'ala in terms of that the surface of the microwave would be covered with that steam. If one wants to be machmir, so one can be machmir, by always putting something in a bag or a shoebox, that would be the equivalent of putting an insert into an oven. If you hold that you require a more than the steam. Okay, I think that's there. Yes.
Hot water
thing. What's a hot water thing?
Hot water urn.
A hot water urn, like a metal an urn that's electric, that you plug in, and it's, where is it all year round?
Your counters, you use like for showers.
And what do you put the hot water into? You put it into coffee, into tea, into soup mixes.
Yeah.
So then the spout is going to absorb via nitzok. So the spout should be, should undergo a hagala. You should pour boiling water on the spout. Now, from the inside, you would have the water's boiling, but from the outside, you should pour hot water on the spout.
The spout is plastic.
Excuse me?
The spout is usually plastic.
If the spout is plastic, so then it doesn't. Then in Eretz Yisrael, if it's hard plastic, and it's, there are no scratches in it, you can be there is a minhag to be making. But if you don't want to be mekel, you're welcome to buy a Pesach, kettle. we have said, I mean, again, we live here, so we have everything separate for Pesach. But if one is, you know, I think that there in Eretz Yisrael, there could be room to be mekel, to kasha the spout. Okay? In other words, I asked last year, I don't have one of these mini bars. The water, you know, they get the hot water, cold water. You know, they had something that in Israel that also for Shabbos. But one of my children bought one, and I was trying to figure out how it could be machshir. And so I was told that just, you know, it's to be machshir the spout would be sufficient, even if it was used to put water into hot cereal, etc. That would be chametz. Okay, everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach, and the ikar is sameach, and the ikar is kosher. In other words, you have two ekronos. But also to view the fact that everything that we're going through externally of trying to get rid of chametz, we should realize that we all have the dika pnimis to make in terms of our inner chametz, and to try and at least have a week to be chametz free, to be totally lashon hara free, to be totally sinas chinam free, to be totally davikaf chova free. In other words, for an entire week, just to try and eat tzaddikim, and then hopefully it'll have an hashpah the rest of the year as well.
When's the last
Tuesday afternoon.